John chapter 6. Let's go back to the Gospel of John for tonight's text. And then we're going to be in several places in your New Testament. But we'll start over in John chapter 6. I, this morning, recognized those who served in any part of our armed forces. If you were working outside of this auditorium and you were in the service, any branch, would you please stand tonight? Would you please stand, anybody? If you were in the service, all right. Anybody else besides? Okay, Ira, what branch of the service do you serve in? All right, very good. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? We got everybody else covered? All right, like we did this. What do we got? I'm sorry, who'd I miss? Oh, Jack. Yeah, stand up, Jack. Tell you what branch of the service? Army. This is Jack Colesby. And you're currently enrolled right now, currently serving. So God bless you, Jack. How about a hand for these fellows tonight? All right. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let's stand together, please. Verses 66 through 68 will be our text. Verses 66 through 68, John chapter 6. And let's read these responsively. I'll read the even verses. Please join me on verse 67. Our Bible says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Let's pray together before the special tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll use the message, God, to prevent heartache in somebody's life. I pray that you'll use the message to prevent us from going away. Lord, it's right here in the book for what you talk about is going to happen. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be prepared in our hearts. Keep us on course. Keep us doing right, serving you. Until Jesus comes, help us to occupy. Bless the song and the message to follow, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
They shall lift up their voice, they shall shout for joy, they shall cry aloud and be free. They shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's the blood bought the church to redeem. And we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner, our captive, must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought the church to redeem. Oh, pick up your harp, O Zion of the Lord. Let the earth ring forth with his praise. All his children rejoice from the islands of the sea. It's the blood bought the church to redeem. And we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be freed. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought the church to redeem. Let the earth be silent, so wind cease to blow. Every created being, fold your wings. For there's a new song being sung with a new melody. It's the blood bought the church to redeem. And we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought the church to redeem. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It is the blood bought the church to redeem.
good singing tonight. That's a good song. I appreciate that. Practice that takes is a lot. I'll tell you that much to put the time in. Good singing tonight. Amen. You enjoy that, church? I did. Amen. I don't know about some of you folks. I wouldn't hang around a place that I didn't enjoy what was going on. I just wouldn't. Some of you look like you've been soaking the prune for 3 weeks. I'll tell you. I'm just not going to hang around somewhere that I can't enjoy what's going on. I don't know. You just if I got to endure it, I'll go do something else. Amen. But that's just good. I like that stuff. Amen. Good singing tonight. I like it all. I like the song this morning. Man, that was great. My house is full. My fields are empty. Everything was good. All right. I'm going to speak tonight on the saddest question Jesus ever asked His disciples. You see it there in verse 67. Will ye also go away? He never asked them who was going to betray Him. He knew that. He didn't ask any sad questions at the Last Supper. He asked Judas individually, friend, why betrayest thou me with a kiss? But he asked here, the collective group of these 12 men, will ye also go away? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You for the blood bought and the redeemed. Thank You for Your army. I'm glad I can be a part of it. I don't want to slow it down. I don't want to, Lord, be a casualty someday. And I certainly don't want to go AWOL. I don't want to be away without leave. That'll be the subject, Lord, of the message tonight. Thank You so much that You redeemed us and bought us with Your blood. And I pray You'd give us the fortitude, the grit, to stay in the battle until the bell rings and You come to get us. Give us a backbone like a saw log, Lord. And help us to have some conviction and grit. And I pray tonight that You'll open the windows of heaven, give us an understanding and a help here. That'll be a great blessing to us. Help me in Jesus' name. And amen. Jesus had just finished a discourse on salvation. He talked about eating His flesh and drinking His blood in this New Testament dispensation as opposed to the manna that the Old Testament Jews had eaten. It is a bit difficult to comprehend it. The Catholic Church has taken it and made it literal and taught that when they observe communion, the bread that they take down into their mouth actually becomes the body of Christ. The wine that they sip through transubstantiation actually becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want anything to do with a cannibalistic religion. Amen? But this can't be interpreted literally. So there is truth here in a symbolic sense. And then in verse number 60, the Bible says that, 66, the Bible says that many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. By the way, these were disciples, not those who hated Him, not those who denied His deity. Look back at verse number 60. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. This is hard, God. Hard, Lord. Who can hear it? And then they started murmuring and they started complaining about how hard the message was. And they were confused and angry. Now, folks, this wasn't the first time they were confused about something that Jesus had said. But you know what they did previously? When they were confused, they said, Lord, what did You mean by that? Remember the parable of the sower? Other places He told a sermon or a parable. And then He took the disciples aside and they asked Him, Lord, can You explain that to us? And He did. But you don't find any of that recorded here. You don't find these disciples asking Jesus, what do You mean by this? Instead, many of Christ's followers picked that moment to leave Him. They went back and walked no more with Him. And Jesus, in verse 67, looked at the 12 and said, will ye also go away? That's the word for tonight. Away. Now, the Bible says many, not a few. But many of the crowd went away, back to their houses, back to their vocations, back to their farms, back to their merchandise, or, as Orpah of Moab did, back to their people, back to their gods, little g. They no longer walked with Christ. They went away. The word is apostasy. A going away, a departing from the truth. Not a few of them, but many. And then Jesus looked at the 12 and asked that sobering question, will ye also go away? Will you be a part of apostasy? Will you also go away from truth? Will you leave me? That's what he asked them. Now, fast forward in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is about A.D. 32 that we find in John 6. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look with me, if you will, at this passage here, verse number 3. Fast forward about 30 years, maybe 25 or 30 years. Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, watch it now, watch for the word, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now Paul said that day, the day of Christ, at His coming, it will not come until some things happen first. That day will not come until the wicked one has been revealed. And we know that the wicked one will be revealed at the beginning of the tribulation period. What has to happen before the wicked one is revealed? The Bible says there will come a falling away first. The Antichrist is revealed at the beginning of the tribulation period. So the falling away that comes first has to come before the tribulation period. That means it happens while the church is still here. There's going to come a falling away first. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. There will be a falling away. An apostasy. A going away from sound doctrine. A going away from public worship services. A going away from holy living. A going away from passionate service. A going away from a heart that's hot. For Jesus Christ. Do you see Jesus looking at His followers today and asking the same question He asked in A.D. 32? Are you going to be one of the ones that goes away? Are you going to be one of the ones that goes away? There will be many in the days before the tribulation period who will go away, fall away. Will you also go away? Let me give you three or four thoughts tonight. First of all, let me talk to you about the reality of going away. Friend, we do not have to question or dispute the reality of going away. Listen, many walked away from Jesus. These folks didn't walk away from Peter. They didn't walk away from John. They didn't walk away from Andrew. They didn't walk away from Nathaniel. They didn't walk away from John the Baptist. They walked away from the Son of God. He was with them. They saw the blind made to see. They saw the deaf made to hear. They saw the lame man made to walk. They saw the palsied man made steady. They ate of the fishes and they ate of the bread. They heard the words spill from His mouth and His lips. They were there in His presence, and yet they went away. This is too hard. This is too narrow. This is too straight. They left Jesus. Should it be any surprise to us that many will even go away from the truth in this day? Should it surprise us? I'll tell you what, friend. Churches are pastored by men. If people left Jesus, they certainly would leave men. They left Paul. He wrote over there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15 about Phygellus and Hermogenes. And he said, all of them in Asia, Timothy, have turned, here's your word, away. Of whom are Hermogenes and Phygellus? They turned away. I suggest to you, friend, that if they walked away from Jesus Christ, if they walked away from the Apostle Paul, it's pretty obvious in these last days the reality of apostasy. You have no need to dispute it. You have no need to argue it. Some of us have friends and family members and even loved ones who have gone away, and you scratch your head and you ask yourself, how can this be? Can you believe it? Yes, I can. God said it would happen. The reality of this happening to me is one of my greatest fears. I should have brought it tonight. I've got the Bible that I had in college when I was at Howells Anderson back in 76 through 80. I've got the Bible that I used in those college years stuck away in my office back there. I should have brought it tonight and opened up the inside cover and read the names aloud of the men who signed my Bible when I was a young Christian who have fallen away. Preachers. And I don't mean just moral sin. I mean they departed from the truth. Departed from the faith. The reality of it. Job said in chapter 3:25, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." And I can assure you, friend, I feel that same way about apostasy. I feel that same way about going away. I fear it for me. I fear it for my children. I fear it in my married life. I fear it for this church. I fear it for all of you people. I fear the reality of apostasy coming to my life or yours. And it's going to come. I don't mean to be a prophet of doom. But some in this room will go the route of apostasy before Jesus comes. There's no doubt about it. You can't have a crowd this size and not lose some casualties to apostasy. Falling away, leaving the truth, walking away from Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to be passive about it. I'm not going to just be resigned to the fact that, you know, because the Bible says there's going to be apostasy and a falling away, it's going to come, so, oh well, just let it happen. No, sir. As long as I have grace, and as long as I have my mind, and as long as I have some strength, and as long as I have some energy, and as long as I have some enthusiasm, and as long as I have some fight, I'm going to kick, and I'm going to scream, and I'm going to fight to hold it off in my life and in yours, every one of you. The reality of apostasy, the reality of going away. The Bible says in two or three places it's going to happen. Will you be a casualty of apostasy? The reality of it. But let me quickly move on to the second thing where I want to spend a little time tonight. Let's look for a moment at the reasons for going away. The reasons for going away. There are reasons why people go away. Hey, folks. You're thinking in your mind right now about people who have departed from the faith. Well, it just happens. No, there are reasons why it happens. Look with me, if you will, please, at 1 John chapter 2. Let me give you some reasons for going away tonight. 1 John chapter 2. Maybe this will be a help to you and me to avoid going away. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18 and 19. One of the reasons why people go away is they are not saved. They are not saved. They're not born again. They're not birthed from above. Look at the Bible here in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard the Antichrist, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see, look here. In John's day, there were false teachers and preachers. They came from Jerusalem with John, with Peter, and the others. They all held the same Bible. They all preached the same doctrine. But John said that some of them went out. They went away from John and his crowd. And the reason they went away from John and his crowd, John said they went away because they were not of us. They were not saved. And it's apparent in how they've ended up that they were not with us. They were never, ever one of the born-again, blood-washed preachers. Now listen very carefully, friend. What's true in the ministry is true in the pew. People leave the faith. They go away from Christ and His way because they're not saved. They're not truly born again. Somebody told me not too long ago about a reunion of Faith Baptist Christian School graduates. And some, I think a couple of them actually even graduated from Dwight when we were in school over there. And don't let this discourage you. This is true about every Christian school in America. Some graduates had a reunion at a bar. Drinking. Whoremongers and adulterers in the crowd. Yeah. Used to sing in the school plays and be a part of the school ball teams and all this. And now they're drinking and there's no conviction of sin. And they're justifying their wicked, abominable, devastating lifestyles and saying it's okay in the sight of God. You say, how in the world can they do that? I'm going to tell you how that happens. It's called they're lost. They're not saved. You say, well, don't you believe a person can backslide? Yes, I do, but I believe if you're in the family, the Bible teaches that you're not going to backslide long till God gets on your backside. You don't hear a lot of preaching on that in this day and age. But that's Bible, friend. You're horrified at that, folks. You think, man, how in the world can this be? I can explain it to you. L-O-S-T. They're not saved. You know, it would be real hard for an unsaved person to enjoy the things of God. I am convinced we have unsaved young people here every Sunday. And I'm not talking about off our buses either. I'm talking about out of our driving crowd, unsaved. Folks, I'm up here. I look around. I see. When I see kids sit like this through a whole service, never look at anything. Never participate in anything. Never any light. I'm sorry. If there's spiritual life, there's spiritual appetite. You say what you want to say. Lost. I was thinking here, the last week was 2 weeks ago. Terry and Travis Gray were here. The former Terry Parsons. I remember when I first came, you know, Terry was a sweet girl, but boy, she was a handful. She was in that crowd at Cedar River Baptist Camp that dressed in black from head to foot, painted their fingernails black, and wouldn't sing the songs. Brother Dave got them up on my first summer here. My first camp as pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And I've told you all that story. Some of you look like you don't know this. You've heard that story. You haven't heard that story? I took a hand, I don't know, there was maybe 8 or 9 girls and 4 or 5 boys. We took the camp. And I'm sitting over in the service Monday night with the boys in this section over here. And Alan Ives is leading the song. He's a peach of a Savior. He's the apple of my... It's a kid's song, but it didn't hurt teenagers to act like kids. They do most of the time anyway. Man. We sang it. Brother Dave said, a whole row of girls sitting back there just stood there. You didn't sing. You didn't do the motions. You didn't do anything. I'm going to have Brother Ives lead this song one more time. And if you don't sing, we're going to have you come up on the platform and sing it in front of the whole camp. I'm sitting over here with the boys going, yeah, Brother Dave, burn them. Yeah, burn them. Get them, Brother Dave. That's right. Yeah. You know, having a time with all the guys, you know. So Alan Ives starts singing the song. He doesn't get 60 seconds into that song. That's how much patience Brother Dave has. Amen. 60 seconds. He stopped that thing. I said, all you girls but one. The only one that wasn't called on the platform was Rachel Griffin, now Rachel Allen. Remember that, Rachel? I didn't know it, though. He said, all you girls but the girl in the end, come up here. You're going to lead the whole song in front of this. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, get him, Brother Dave. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all the girls from Faith Baptist Church. Karen Reardon. Terry Parsons. Dressed in black from head to foot. Now, Brother Don's in black from head to foot tonight. Amen. But I see Brother Larry sitting in black out there too. So maybe this is something to do with rebellion. Amen. I don't know. Now, you got black on tonight, you're not in rebellion, but they planned it. Then I remember maybe the next summer, we had revival at camp that week. One of the first young people to get saved was Terry Parsons. And you know what's an amazing thing? She changed. Amazing, isn't it? What amazing what getting saved will do for you when it comes to church. Getting saved to help you enjoy. You won't mind carrying your Bible to church. You're getting saved to sit up and listen in church. You're getting saved to help you want to sing the song. It's amazing what getting saved will do for a person. See, it's just amazing. You know, I think we push off too much as backslidden. We push off too much as rebellion. It's dead. She went off to Hiles Anderson. She was here a few weeks ago. I remember when I went down to preach for Brother Dawson. I think it was earlier this year. One of the joys being with her and Travis, and they got the little kids in church down there. Just a blessing. I was thinking about Nathan. The other thing about Nathan. Boy, the struggles Nathan had. Oh, my goodness, the struggles Nathan had. And I'll never forget. My phone rang about 11:30 at night, maybe later than that. I don't know. It was about 11:30 at night. Brother Don was on the phone, and Brother and Nathan and Ben. And Nathan said, "Pastor, I got something to tell you." He was out in West Virginia. He said, "I got saved tonight." And you know what happened to that boy? He changed. Changed. The nature changed. Unbelievable. You know why some go out? End up whoremongering around and adultering around and drinking like a fish and flaunting it in your face? It's called lost. It's called L-O-S-T, lost, unsaved. That's sad. I don't preach that in happiness tonight. It breaks my heart. We had a child here this morning, I'm convinced, possessed with the devil. Sat in this service today. I've been in the home. He's been in the home. We've been in there together. We both came away going. When kids crawl on the floor and gnaw on the wood, that's not normal. Strange stuff, folks. Better get geared in for these last days. If the footman tire you, what the horseman going to do? I know we're not going through the tribulation period, but let me tell you something. It's going to get real tough before we leave this world. And there is going to be a falling away. Jesus said it. Paul said it. They wrote about it here in Thessalonians. It's going to come. Are you going to be one of the ones that goes away? Why do people go away? Because they're not saved. First chance they get without mom and dad bearing on top of them, out the door. Now, I'm not saying every situation is that way. But far too often we categorize it as rebellion and backslidden when the truth of the matter is there's no spiritual life there. None. Are you listening tonight? That's why some of them go away. Let me show you another one. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. The reasons why people go away. There's your word tonight. Apostasy. Will you also go away? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy, his preacher boy in the faith here. In chapter 1, 1 Timothy, they put away a good conscience. They put away a good conscience. Look what he said in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now watch verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck. Holding faith and holding a good conscience. Then it says that some of them put away a good conscience concerning their faith. And they became apostate in their conscience regarding their faith. Hear me, those that put away a good conscience will soon make a shipwreck of faith. The old saying, let your conscience be your guide, is dangerous for someone who's lost. But friend, let me key you in on something in case you haven't thought about this. For a saved person, a good conscience is one of the dearest friends you'll have. An enlightened conscience is one of the dearest friends you have. The last thing you want concerning your faith, your belief, your practice is a seared conscience, a conscience that has no feeling, past feeling. When you sear yourself with a hot iron or a something burned, that after it gets all done there, that there's no feeling there. It's cauterized. Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul said, "And herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Paul said, "I work hard at keeping a good conscience." You see, people who put away a good conscience will eventually go away from the Lord. Now, these folks may be saved, but they apostatize. They depart from the faith because they didn't hold on to a good conscience. Hey, put it right down where we all live. Remember the first time? After you got saved and after you got in church faithfully, remember the first time you missed church for no good reason? And your conscience was going, "What are you doing? Where should you be? You shouldn't be sitting at home. I know you were tired, but man, this is the place, that church house is where you should be." Remember that? Remember the first time you sat down with your Bible? You got in the habit of Bible reading and then you sat down with your Bible. But instead you ended up with a magazine or a book or the newspaper and you got locked into that. Your Bible went unread and you looked at your watch and said, "Oh man, I got to get ready for work." Your conscience was going, "What'd you do? What'd you do? What'd you do that for? Why?" Remember the first time after you said, "Man, I want to be a soul winner," and you started attending some organized soul winning meeting, and then you just didn't come for no good reason, didn't find any other time to be a witness for Christ. Your conscience bothered you. Well, it's quiet in here, but that's true. Remember the first time you were trying to find that Christian radio station, and you hit that button, and it landed on one of the oldies, the music that you used to listen to before you got saved, and you let it linger there for a few minutes. One song turned to two, and two songs turned to three. Your conscience was, "What are you doing?" Remember the first time you thought about changing a dress standard? "What are you doing?" Remember the first time after you had gotten that television thing completely under control, the first time you let it slip and you turn something on to see if there's a ball game and you watch it over here, and boy, pretty soon you're watching this thing. Oops, there's God's name taken in vain. Oops, there's alcohol. Oops, and your conscience is going, "What are you doing?" That's not a bad thing. A good conscience is a blessing. And your conscience ate your lunch. And then it didn't happen for a while. Got back on course with church and soul winning and Bible reading and dress standards and music and television shows and your entertainment. You got back on your prayer and boy, but then it happened again, but the conscience didn't speak up near as loud. Maybe that's going on right now in somebody's heart. I'm going to tell you something. Keep ignoring the conscience, and soon it will be seared. And if you don't hold on to a good conscience, Paul said, if you don't hold on to a good conscience concerning your faith, you'll go away. Pretty soon your Bible will stay closed for weeks at a time and nothing is said. Pretty soon it becomes habit to miss church. And when was the last time I gave somebody a gospel tract? And my music now is more what it was than what it... But there's nothing screaming inside anymore. A good conscience. Oh, and then I know what happened. You ran across some literature or heard somebody on the radio that said, oh, the guilt that you felt the first time you didn't go to church, that's the result of legalism. and legalistic preachers who are putting unnecessary guilt on how you church attend and how you dress and what music you listen to. It has nothing to do with legalism. Nothing. Nothing. Zero. Are you listening tonight? It has nothing to do with legalism. It has everything to do with the fact that you had a good conscience and it was screaming at you, but you didn't hold on to that. Brother, if you don't go away, if you don't want to go away from the faith, you better keep a good conscience. You better keep that thing healthy. Keep it strong. Hold on to it. It'll be the best friend you ever had. I remember, I think I told you this before, in the 10 years I was at Marion Avenue working for Brother Brown, I remember one time I lied to Brother Brown. I'm ashamed of that. A grown man in the ministry lying. But he had told me something that happened there at the church. And he said, Terry, he said, look, he said, nobody needs to hear. But it wasn't a bad thing. It was really a good thing. He said, nobody needs to know. But I want this to go anywhere. He said, I want you to tell you. He said, I can't stop you from telling your wife. Of course, wouldn't do that. But man, don't tell your parents. Don't tell Brother John. I don't think I told Brother John. Joyce's dad. But on the phone one day to my folks, I told him. And then the next morning, off guard, unprepared, out of the blue, caught me completely unprepared. Hey, remember that thing that happened? You hadn't told anybody. Have you hadn't told your parents? Have you hadn't told anybody? No, sir. Oh. He went in his office and closed the door. I walked over there. Every step, my conscience was screaming, you lied! You lied! You lied! You lied! I listened to that thing for 2 days. I couldn't stand it. And Saturday morning, before all the bus meetings and prayer meeting and everything, I knocked on his door and said, Brother Brown, I've got to tell you something. He asked me the other day if I told my parents that. Yes, I told you no, but I lied to you. I'm sorry. If I broke your trust, I'm sorry. But I couldn't go any longer. With the conscience screaming. Did your conscience scream at you? That's a good thing. That music comes on that radio and your conscience is going, stop! Don't ignore it. Don't shove it back in a corner. Protect it. Hold on to that. Okay. That's not legalism, friend. That's a good conscience. If you've been taught right from the Bible, you don't want to go away. Paul said, Dave, not held on to a good conscience. They've gone away concerning their faith. Let your conscience be your guide if you're enlightened, born again, taught in the Scriptures. You got a good friend in your conscience. Amen? Some went away because they were not saved. Some went away because they didn't hold on to a good conscience. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me give you one more reason why they go away, and then we'll get close to finishing this thing up tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look, if you will, please, at verse number 4. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 4. And the Bible says here, and let's read verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Watch the word there, turn away. And shall be turned into fables. Did you see? One of the reasons people go away is they turn away their ears from the truth. You see, there is a turning away before they go away. They turn their ears. They would not hear the truth. They would not respond to it. They would not accept it. Hey, you ever dealt with an immature rebel? They won't look at you. They turn their head as if to say, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not accepting it. I'm rejecting it. I want no part of it. And I'm going to show you how I feel about it. Yeah. It's childishness, second grade stuff. Unaffected by truth. People who turn their ear away from the truth, they don't receive it, they reject it, they turn away to fables. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you want to avoid apostasy? stay hungry for the truth of this book right here. Come hungry to church. Come hungry to Sunday school. Come hungry to Wednesday night. Folks, look, I take preaching seriously. It's not just a time filler for me. And you know what? I long for the messages to make an impact on you. I am not a novice anymore. And I'm not anything, but I'm not a novice. 25 years out of school. I am over the desire to make an impression on people. I think all young preachers battle that. We talk about that in homiletics. And how is this going to sound? What are they going to think about this? I'm over that. I have no place I want to preach. There is no pulpit in this country that I sit and think, boy, I'd love to preach there. None. I have one desire. I want to reach the hearts of the people in this church with the truth of this book right here. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I bang my head against the floor praying before God, asking, I don't know what I could preach to move some of you. There's no response. I mean, I don't care if I preach on family or marriage or church or finances or soul winning or joy or heaven or hell or perseverance or love or rededication or child rearing or service or Bible reading or prayer. There's no response. There's no movement. There's no indication that it's hitting the mark. Maybe this is just personality. Oh, I'll leave saying, dear God, please. Stay hungry for truth. Stay hungry for it. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Don't turn away your ears from the truth. If I get off on some rabbit trail preaching my opinion, preaching some of my preferences, then you're not responsible for that at all. But if it's line upon line, precept upon precept, don't reject it. One of the saddest services I've preached in a long time was last... Well, I didn't preach it, Brother Harrison was here. One of the saddest services I was a part of was last Sunday night. I preached not a single preference, not a single opinion. I preached Bible line upon line, precept upon precept to people who sat in this auditorium Sunday morning who don't darken the doors of this church at any other time during the week. Not a one of them was here on Sunday night. Now, I didn't preach anything that was my opinion or my preference. I preached that book. Get the CD. Hey, man, we're in high cotton now. So will you take that personally? No, sir. I'm beyond that. Look, folks, as a preacher, you got to have thick skin. That's why some guys don't make it in the ministry. They don't have thick skin. Carry everything. They're thin-skinned. God told Ezekiel, go preach to those people, but I'm going to tell you a little secret when you're going. Before you get there, they ain't going to listen to you. The head's going to be harder than a stone. And they're going to look at you with ugly faces, but you go preach to them anyway. So it's not a personal attack on them. I tell you what I fear. I fear. When I lay that thing out line upon line, precept upon precept, and preach it from the Word of God and it's rejected, man, I fear. Because this is what creates apostasy. If I turn my ear from the truth enough, I'll be turned into fables. You won't find me in church at all. I'm simply saying, are you hungry for truth? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you still hungry for it? Remember, man, don't you remember those times when you first got saved? Just could not wait. Every service, I can't wait to hear the preacher. I can't wait. That's how I was when I first got saved. Get done with the singing. Get done with all that stuff. Let's get to the preaching. Hey! I went to Bible college in chapel five times a day and Bible classes and church on Sundays and church on Wednesday night. And because I was working third shift, if I heard about special meetings, I went to the special meetings at night. Brother Montgomery, they had special preaching over Cedar Lake, Indiana. John Rice, Jack Howes and Lee Robertson. Sword of the Lord Conference, Cedar Lake, Indiana. Monday and Tuesday night. I went. I couldn't get enough. I just had to have it. I wanted more. I saw Lee Robertson, that stately gentleman of a pastor and preacher and always appropriate. I saw him take a chair and lift it up in the air and put it over his head like this and preach like this for a while. Man, I'd only been saved a year. I sat in the front row just... I saw John Rice sit on the platform and write his outline on a piece of paper before he got to preach. In those days, John Rice and Bill Dowell were battling it out. John Rice edited the Sword of the Lord newspaper. Bill Dowell edited the Baptist Bible Tribune or something like that. And John Rice didn't believe in storehouse tithing. He was wrong. Bill Dowell believed in storehouse tithing. Bill Dowell would write an article for storehouse tithing, and John Rice would write one against it in this paper. And then Bill Dowell would respond to it in his paper. Then John Rice would respond to it in his paper. And the papers were going out on a weekly basis in those days. I couldn't wait to get the next article. Amen. Just wait to see. Jack Howe stepped up to the pulpit. John Rice sitting behind him said, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. I haven't been saved very long, but man, I knew Malachi chapter 3 was the storehouse tithing chapter. I thought, man, oh man, this is going to be good. Amen. Jack Howe is going to rip on storehouse tithing with John Rice sitting on the platform. John Rice picked his chair up and moved it right here and sat down just like this. I saw that with my eyes. Jack Howe never mentioned storehouse tithing. Not one time in the whole sermon. Never touched it. I stood up on the platform to shake John Rice's hand. Fella standing right next to me said, John, said, Brother Rice, could I have that outline? Oh, yeah, sure. I took his arm. I gave it to him. Oh, man, why did I think of that? Well, I couldn't get enough of it. Man, come on. Rip me open, pour salt in it, make me encouraged, motivate me, inspire me, put me under conviction. I don't care. Just preach me some truth. I'm hungry for it. Still that way. I still enjoy listening to sermons in the car, CD and tapes, because I want to stay hungry for truth. I don't want to apostatize. Going to go away. You see, I said, I fear it. I fear it. I fear it. I fear it. I fear it like I don't know if I fear anything else. I fear not finishing my course. They're not saved. They don't hold on to a good conscience. Man, don't shove your conscience in the corner. Stay hungry for truth. That's the remedy for going away. It's obvious. If you're not saved, get saved. Once you get saved, friend, your whole attitude about the things of God will change. I know how miserable it is to be unsaved and have a Bible crammed down your throat all the time. I know how wonderful it is after you get saved to have the Bible. No, I know. Hold a good conscience concerning your faith. Man, hold on to it. And stay hungry for the truth. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27? He said, I'm not quoting this now, I'm paraphrasing. He said, when I preach to others, I want to be careful. Lest I myself should become a what? Cast what? Away. So I stay on top of myself. The remedy... Let me finish. The results of going away. We already read it in 1 Timothy 1. Don't turn there. Paul said it's shipwreck. The shores of apostasy are lined with treacherous rocks and dangerous shoals. How many vessels lie damaged and battered along that stretch? Vessels that one time were on course, sailing with a purpose and a mission, but they went away. The apostasy. Crash. Shipwreck. Some of you folks have been saved a long time. We took the remote right microphone, went from pew to pew. Many of you, not me, the pastor of the church, but many of you, with a broken heart would say, let me tell you about my relative. Let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about my pastor, Brother Stone, out east. Shipwreck. Those who go away, don't avoid it. You want to stay on course, folks. You want to finish. So that when Jesus comes, He finds you sailing true. And not having gone away. Amen? That's right. Will ye also go away in the days of apostasy? Are you going to join them? Or are you going to stay on course? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, do a good work in our hearts tonight. I pray that You'll help people. I pray that You'll speak to hearts of people that need it. Maybe this is preventive medicine maintenance for many of us. I hope so. Help us to fear apostasy. Help us to work hard to prevent it from happening in our lives. Touch us tonight, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Born from above, blood washed. You talk about shipwreck. What a horrible thing to go to hell from the pews of a Baptist church. What a horrible thing to go to hell from the halls of a Christian home. Are you saved? Is somebody here tonight and say, Brother Angel, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of playing this game. I'm unsaved. I'm lost. The reason I don't enjoy church, Jesus is pounding on my heart right now. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm born again. All right, how about the reasons for shipwreck, for apostasy? How's that conscience doing? It's still screaming at you? That's good. Have you shoved it into a closet and closed the door? Is that voice not near as loud as it used to be? Hold that good conscience. Don't grow weary of the truth. Receive it, want it, hunger for it, desire it. Avoid shipwreck. Let me say, Brother Angel, at some point in the sermon tonight, the Spirit of God slipped by my pew, spoke to me. I really need to think about this. I fear it like you do. I fear it. I see it happen to some of my friends, co-workers, former church members that I used to be friends with. Maybe some of my own relatives. By God's grace, I want to finish the course. Pray for me. The Lord spoke to me very specifically tonight. Would you lift your hand, please? That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Yes. You know, I thank you. Put your hands. There's more hands than I would even begin to count. I kind of had a feeling that God would move in this service tonight because of how He moved on my heart as I studied and prepared for this message. Oh, I beg you, church, I love you. I don't want you to shipwreck. Hold that good conscience. You've not been taught by legalists. It's not the guilt of legalism. It's a conscience. It's an enlightened, good conscience that was taught truth, screaming at you. Hold to that. Stay hungry for truth. Avoid the falling away. I beg you to. Please, for your children's sake, your grandkids' sake. Let's stand together, please. Our ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come tonight? Would you come let the Lord speak to you? Saddest question that Jesus ever asked. Will you also go away? Would you step out and come? You raised a hand. Oh, the best thing to do with the raise of a hand is to respond. Let the Spirit of God work on you. Would you come? I beg you. You don't want to go away. Possibly lost. Unsaved. Would you come? Oh, may the God of heaven help us to stay on course. Not possible. time. Don't step on people. Let those things pray. Let's just have a good offering. Tonight before we baptize Brett, Brother Doctor.
Just mention again our